Two controversial bills addressing the cost of hosting pipelines have landed on Governor Kristi Noem's desk. One law sets up a fund to pay for the pipeline-related costs incurred by state and local governments. The other introduces the term riot boosting and links the actions of rioters to the organizations that support their causes. Noem pushed the two bills through fast. They were first read in the Senate on March 4th, a Monday, and by the end of the week had been heard in committee, passed by both chambers, and made ready for her signature. Noem says the new laws assign financial responsibility for the costs of crowd control and riots if the Keystone XL pipeline is built as planned through western South Dakota. But opponents say one of the new laws is vague and will most likely result in lawsuits against the state. STPB's Victoria Wicks reports.
Governor Kristi Noem starts her March 4th news conference by averring her ongoing support for the Keystone XL pipeline.
South Dakota is a flow-through state for this project. What we have to gain from this project is simply construction and excise taxes during construction and the county property taxes and other local taxes that will be collected each year afterwards. Those property taxes will be significant, and those are real dollars helping to pay for our local schools and our local governments in most of these rural counties.
Noem says South Dakota's legislation will serve as a model for the rest of the nation. Both bills work together by creating two funds. One is called the Riot Recovery Fund. The other is the Pipeline Engagement Activity Coordination Expenses Fund. Its acronym spells PEACE.
So under the PEACE Fund and the Riot Recovery Fund, the state, counties, federal government, pipeline companies, and rioters will all share in law enforcement costs.
The bill is 13 pages long and mostly sets up rules by which money is gathered and distributed to state and local governments to offset their costs of dealing with the pipeline construction. The pipeline company, most immediately TransCanada, has to post a bond of $1 million for every 10 miles of pipe it lays, with a cap at $20 million. The bill also notes the possible contributions could come from federal agencies. The Peace Fund can also accept money generated by the other law, the one putting civil liability on riot boosters. At the news conference, Noem explains that term.
Well, typically they align themselves and term themselves as environmentalists, but not necessarily how I would define an environmentalist. And I'd say the most typical national offender that we see funding these types of activities would be George Soros.
George Soros is the billionaire founder of Open Society Foundations. George Soros is to the right what the Koch brothers are to the left. The Standing Rock protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline rattled the nation, bringing thousands of protesters and international attention to North Dakota for almost 2 years. At her news conference, Kristi Noem gives her perspective on Standing Rock when she answers a question from SDPB's Lee Strubinger.
Do you consider what happened in North Dakota to be a riot?
Yes, it was very disruptive. There was, at many times, violence occurred and was very costly for the state, the taxpayers of North Dakota, and we are working very hard in planning and have been planning for many months to ensure that that does not happen in South Dakota as the Keystone XL pipeline gets built across our state.
South Dakota's new laws are controversial on several fronts. The legislature suspended its rules to get the bills passed in the final full week of the session. None of the 9 South Dakota tribes was consulted, and one of the bills is vulnerable to legal challenge as an unconstitutional attack on free speech and assembly. The two bills had only one public hearing when the Joint Appropriations Committee heard testimony 2 days after Noem's news conference. In spite of the late notice, the hearing drew a crowd that filled the room and spilled over into the hallway.
She said they had spent about 6,000 hours working on this package of bills since her election in November.
State Senator Troy Heinert is a member of the Rosebud Sioux tribe. In his testimony, he notes that the legislation took lawmakers as well as tribes by surprise.
The tribes got notification the same time that we did, last Monday. They have not been involved in this process. And we have in statute that anything affecting tribal governments, there should be meaningful consultation.
We are having a hearing on these bills, one hearing less than 48 hours after the public release of the text of these bills, weeks after the regular deadline.
Rebecca Turk is a lobbyist for Dakota Rural Action. She says NOAM has attached an emergency clause to the bills, allowing them to take effect immediately in the belief that TransCanada might be able to start construction soon. Turk provides legislators with a document that indicates otherwise.
We have three double-sided pages, lists of permits that TransCanada still needs to get for this pipeline. We are nowhere near close. This is not an emergency. Many of these permits that are outstanding that you will see in the list in these handouts take months to get.
If there's a problem, I'm the one that calls the police.
Mark Winiger is the executive director with the South Dakota chapter of the Sierra Club.
I'll repeat that again. I am the one that calls the police. Why? Because we do not condone violence.
Winiger is one of the opponents who find concern with the vague language in Senate Bill 189, which includes threats of violence as a component of riot.
What constitutes a threat? That is something that we have to consider very seriously, because we want to become a state where citizens can wear firearms. That, in and of itself, could constitute a threat.
I urge you to carefully read the words of this bill.
Lester Thompson, Jr., chairman of the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, says packaging the two bills together creates the assumption that riot consequences pertain only to pipeline protesters, but the language of SB 189 is broad.
Not just the Keystone Pipeline, but any group that assembles in protest on any issue, whether it's pro-life or pipeline.
Like Mark Winiger, Thompson is concerned that undefined terms will lead to confusion.
In a world of social media, how do you determine who is a riot booster or just a concerned citizen? If President Trump tweets out a controversial statement and causes people to take action to commit hate crimes, is that a riot booster?
You know, I'm going to be on the front lines, all right? During this entire battle, that's one thing I hope that everybody understands.
Steve Smith serves as Lyman County State's attorney. He testifies by phone and says he supports the concept of the bills, but they need work.
There's going to be about 7 part-time state's attorneys who are going to be actually in front and with these protesters, dealing with them on almost a daily basis for 18 months to 2 years.
Smith says the majority of people at DAPL protests came from North Dakota and South Dakota. Standing Rock straddles the border between those two states. He says people had traveled to local powwows and stayed to protest.
And each of these reservations that now have basically called for people to come out and protest the Black Snake, each of them is a sovereign nation, and being a sovereign nation is immune from suit.
Smith says counties could face reverse liability if people are thrown into jail for rioting and file a free speech suit.
I'm going to have a situation where my county gets assessed $7 million for violating someone's constitutional statutory rights. There's nothing in there that protects my county from something that the state would be doing that could create a liability that comes back my county's way. And I can't let my taxpayers be at risk in that respect.
I was in Standing Rock. I was up there and I was praying.
Perry Puryear is a state representative and a member of the Oglala Sioux Tribe. She explains that not everyone has the same view of what happened at the DAPL protests.
The priests came, the nuns came, interdenominations from across the board. They came from other states and they prayed and they joined us. It was a peaceful protest.
Like Senator Troy Heinert, Puryear is concerned that NOAM did not consult tribes, even though she met with leaders while the legislation was crafted.
The president of the Oglala Sioux Tribe has met with Christy Noem on several occasions and made large overtures of saying, let's work together. Let's do a positive future for our future generations.
We have seen that a peaceful and law-abiding protest can turn into a riotous event, causing significant damage.
Whether Standing Rock was a riot depends on which side of the line you stand. Eric Erickson is a lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. He says the Standing Rock protest cost North Dakota's Morton County about $38 million for law enforcement and emergency response.
761 arrests that occurred, which had, of course, additional expenses on the county front. And following the event, over 9.8 million pounds of debris and garbage were removed from the protest sites.
Erickson says the new laws are vital to helping counties meet staggering costs rather than putting the burden on taxpayers. The Keystone XL pipeline project is currently tied up in Montana federal courts, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Nebraska Supreme Court. TransCanada lawyers have said in court filings that the company has to start construction on worker camps by March 15th to be able to start pipeline construction this spring. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.